With Baltimore City's schools facing a $130 million shortfall, roughly 10% of the annual budget, school CEO Sonia Santelises has warned of painful cuts, including teacher layoffs. WIPR's Jonna McCone looks at what those cuts could mean for educators, advocates, and parents.
Job Grodzki and principals throughout Baltimore schools got their budgets last week, and they're significantly smaller than in the past. Grodzki, who is a principal at Mount Royal Elementary in Bolton Hill, will likely have to lay off 9 people, some of them teachers.
And as a result, we basically have to build the school from the ground up.
Like most city schools principals, he's had to deal with thin budgets before, but these cuts are more significant than he anticipated.
The scale of the cuts that we're taking now is devastating, emotionally, mentally. We're talking about people's lives. As far as the adults in that building, and then you're talking about the students' lives.
He and other city principals are developing their budgets with public input this week and next. Grodzki says he may have to rethink education at Mount Royal, where 9 out of 10 kids qualify for free or reduced meals. The school's been able to attract more middle-class families from Bolton Hill because of its strong enrichment offerings, like drama clubs, field trips abroad, even camping trips.
We're very fortunate to be distinguished as an E-Gate school, Excellence in Gifted and Talented Education, and that's a result of having the funding to hire an external teacher to pull out students so that we can service the gifted and advanced population. I fear that as the funding goes away, those types of programs will have to be cut.
The city school system gets most of its money, 70%, from the state. And that amount follows a statewide formula the General Assembly created for school funding in 2002, known as the Thornton Formula. It establishes a base rate of funding per child, around $7,000, and requires spending adjustments depending on regional differences in cost to run schools, like salaries and energy costs. In addition, schools get more money based on the number of low-income kids, students with disabilities, and English language learners. In 2002, the legislature increased the funding in steps, up until 2008.
But then the recession hit.
That's B.B. Verdery, director of the ACLU of Maryland's Education Reform Project. She says the state is not meeting its mandate under the Thornton formula.
The legislature decided it could not afford to follow the formula and increase the funding to schools every year by inflation, so they cut it back.
Kalman Buzzy Hedelman, a former school board member and special education advocate, says the shortfall is because of the relatively static funding and increasing costs.
If the Thornton funding had grown proportionately, the city would have gotten $290 million more in the intervening years. So there is a very huge gap in the resources that are available and should be available if the state fulfills its legal mandate to provide adequate funding.
Hedelman, a former state secretary of human resources, serves on the Commission on Innovation and Excellence in Education. The commission was established by the General Assembly to review education funding formulas and determine how much the state and local districts should pitch in. Part of the shortfall also stems from the millions of dollars in new development that does not generate tax revenue. It's made the city look richer on paper, but resulted in less money for schools.
The General Assembly will certainly want to consider some kind of factor to take into account the imbalance in a city like Baltimore of growth in wealth against growth in tax revenues.
The commission is to submit its recommendations to the General Assembly in time to go through the political mill of the 2018 session, which means it may be a while before city schools gets any relief. Meanwhile, parents like Amalia Ward, whose 5-year-old Adar is new to city schools, worry about the budget gap and the layoffs.
And the dog just ate the rest of your breakfast.
Evil doggy.
While Ward scrambles to get her 5-year-old and 3-year-old out the door to school, a chubby Boston Terrier stretches on hind legs to reach Adar's plate. Adar is a kindergartner at Mount Washington Elementary School, where Ward volunteers. She says she loves her neighborhood school, but resources are stretched thin there.
Because I'm able to volunteer, I'm able to see sometimes what resources are short. For instance, the school nurse was looking for a wheelchair for the nursing suite at the school because it's not in the budget to have a wheelchair.
Ward, who is an occupational therapist, was able to get one donated.
But it was sad to me that they couldn't afford in the budget to have a wheelchair for kids who need it when they're sick. So it worries me as a parent, if these budget cuts go through, that resources will be even more spread thin. And this is at one of the great schools in the city, so I know it's even worse elsewhere.
The parent-teacher organization at Mount Washington has secured tens of thousands of dollars in extra funds each year through parent contributions, fundraising, and grants. But even that isn't enough to meet the needs, according to a 2016 adequacy study by APA Consulting. And most schools in Baltimore do not have the kind of parent and community support to raise extra funds for field trips or hands-on science. Ward wants to see more funding for schools and more people willing to invest in them.
I believe that the students in the city are more high poverty than other areas of the state, and that they need more than just teaching. They need support staff. Sometimes the meals they get at school are the only meals they'll get for the day. So it makes sense to me that it costs slightly more per student in Baltimore City public schools than elsewhere in the state.
But despite the sweeping cuts, there's a glimmer of a vision for the way forward. Ward says she's encouraged by an active parent group that jammed a recent Baltimore Education Coalition meeting and by City School CEO Dr. Sonia Santelisa's openness on the budget gap. At last night's school board meeting, she laid out the tough decisions ahead and tried to dispel rumors and worry.
We held our schools harmless for as long as possible while providing compensation and benefits packages that are among the best in the state. And we reduced school budgets with the greatest reluctance. This was not a surprise. It was part of why I committed early and ethically to making sure that all partners, were informed of the severity of these cuts.
As for Principal Grotsky, he says schools have to get creative and meet with their communities about funding priorities. He is confident the school system will continue to make progress and get to a sustainable budget.
Give us a year or two and we'll be right back at it. We're just going to take a hit. We're going to get up and we're going to do what's right for kids.
Grotsky says school partners are already coming forward, asking how they can help. Education advocates hope that by the spring, the mayor and governor find money in the budget to reduce some of the gap. I'm Jonna McCone, reporting for 88.1 WYPR.